You say, why am I saying that? I'll tell you. Because God said, if I answer you in this hungry state, we are going to share the glory. Yes, that's it now. We are going to share the glory. You are going to say, praise the Lord. On the fifth day of the fast, I say, oh, Pari. Meanwhile, on the first day. So God said, that's why I've not answered. It's not because the fast is a problem, just that the way I'm looking at you, I need you to eat first before I answer you, so I can collect my glory complete. I'm not sharing it with anybody. The only thing I wanted to say is that I cried to the Lord and he heard me. I don't want any other thing. He said, then I now put the fast, we now stopped. Initially, I was drinking. I said, no, this is not serious enough. I went off water. You are a Hindu. You are getting my point here. It's Hindus that do such things. We also do it when we mix Hinduism with Christianity. Believe me, if you understand God, there's liberty in Christ Jesus. There is. I like what Okemude has been teaching on radio. Fasting versus starving. Most Christians have been starving. Thank you, man of God, for delivering them. But I'm saying all of this to let you know, God has done so much for us. We don't need to go on, you don't need to lift your hand up for 1 year before he listens to you, before he can approach his throne. In fact, he comes down by himself. He used to come into the garden and talk to Adam and Eve. He is the one that will come down. Many times he has revealed himself to you. Many of you listening to me, you know, the first day God revealed himself to you, you were even sad, you were unhappy, you don't even know what's going on, and he sent an angel to guide you. You didn't do anything. We owe him too much. We can't negotiate with him. That's what all of this I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We owe him too much. We can't negotiate with him. He owns us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Let us serve him with a whole heart. I know I will sound like a broken record, but I will say it again. When you want to give money, derive joy from the giving process. That's how to serve God. Don't give money because you are afraid that if you don't, something bad will happen. That sacrifice is not acceptable to him. It's an insult, actually. Hey, is the tithe complete? If it's not complete, life will be tithe. Those are sinful words. Christians should not utter them. A lady wrote, he said, can I send my first fruit to you people, Kingdom World Ministries? He said, my pastor is not collecting it. Ah, sister, why now? He said, the man said it's not complete. Okay, why is your first fruit not complete? He said, last January, I gave it complete. Pastor, the kind of suffer where I suffer for February. She said, I didn't have money to transport myself to work. So this year I said, be wise. All I have removed is transport money for 1 month. Said the pastor said it is not complete. So please, can I send it to you people? You know, how many of you remember this? One of these African writers series. Wait, Ezulu. There's one traditionalist thing. He refused to give instruction to go and harvest yam. So the Reverend Father said, no problem. You can bring it to church. And if you can give a God that's not a true God, one tuber of yam, where they're supposed to give one tuber, the first one you harvest. Reverend Father said, this is good. He said, you bring to the true God too. So a lot of villagers became Christians. Because this is what Zulu they do. I don't understand. My family is starving. That was what our dear sister wanted us to do. He said, Pastor, can I send it to you people? We sent her a reply. I said, please, ignore your pastor. Whatever you have, put in an envelope. Don't talk with him. Go to the offering basket. Put it there. Now listen. I'm just saying all of this to let us know that, look, God is not like that. Any offering you are giving to him under this duress, he does not accept. He doesn't accept it. This is Christianity. God loves a cheerful giver. Must be happy when you are doing it. If it's paining you, leave it. So you must give God something that pains you. That one is not acceptable. Once it's paining you, leave it. You never reach that kind of level of offering. I'm not joking about that. Once it's paining you, please leave it. You have not reached that level. So I should only give that which is convenient for me. Don't mix the things I'm saying up. Listen, if you give me ₦1 billion today, and I give out ₦1 billion, it does not pay me. Even if I don't have a kobo left after, I have reached a point in life, just through understanding, that money is nothing. So it doesn't pay me. When I pay my children's school fees, it does not pay me. When I pay my landlord, does it pay me? So if you are giving to what you call giving to God, it's still paying you. You still have a problem to solve. It's not the money that's your problem. I don't know whether you are getting my point here. So that's what I mean. I don't mean that you only give things that they are of no value to you. No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that if you are still at the level where you are checking it, if I give the Lord this one now, forget it, you have not reached that level. Don't bother doing it. Get to a point in your heart where whatever you do, you are glad. I'm talking about serving God with a whole heart. That's what I'm talking about. Serving Him with a whole heart, a joyful heart. You are excited to do it. That's what I'm talking about. That's how we give to God. It's that joy. Like say, the gospel is being preached somewhere. Yeah, praise the Lord. In your heart, too. Father God, thank you for the privilege of working with you. Amen. In our little way, we are spreading the gospel. It's a privilege. Thank you. If you bring more money, we'll give some more money. If you give us anything in return, it's your own. We are just happy to be your servants. That is what I'm preaching. The Lord is good. That's just to emphasize to us why we are doing this series. Let's now get to today's message. Romans chapter 4. I know why you are laughing. You are laughing at me. Like I said, no, I wasn't joking when I said that, even though it's a bit time, it sounds like a joke time-wise, but I wasn't joking. I was just trying to remind us of why we are doing this again, why we are studying the Word of God like this. Because Christians must understand, let's leave this joke we crack sometimes, what we call the service of God is not good. Last year, we taught a series which is titled True Service of God. Please, if you were not here, I want to recommend you get that CD. I think Israel is still available with the book. Please, get a copy of the book, How to Work for God, together with the CD. The messages, they are like 13 or so, or 16. Is it 13 or 17? 16 messages. Alright. But quite a number of messages. Okay, together with the book. We just released the book late last year, How to Work for God. Please read it. It will help you understand what it means to work for God. Like I said, we're not doing things for God because we're trying to get from Him. We just want to be what He created us to be. We want Him to look at us and give us a smile. That well done, good and faithful servant. That's the greatest thing you should want from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Very important. All right, the Lord is good. So last time when we were speaking on this subject, let me continue from that particular point. I emphasized something. We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We'll read from this Romans chapter 4 now. From that 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter said that what is most important is genuine faith. That what God is drilling out of our lives. Let me go over that again. That's what I said, I will review. What God is drilling out of our lives is what? Genuine faith. Please, let me just emphasize it again. Let's read it. I think we should read it. It's important. 1 Peter chapter 1. We read it last time. I think we should just read it again. We'll just start from verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and which will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, sorry, I want to get down to the main thing I want. Verse 6 says that, He said, in this you greatly rejoice, that salvation, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, or literally the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me just stop here. Now, why I read that, we start from that verse 3. The specific verse relevant there is verse 7. He said that the thing that's more precious than gold is genuine faith. So what God is looking for, we talked about that last time, as our faith is being tested, is the genuineness of faith that is precious. We explained that many things exist in this world that have value. In today's day, all right, we have cash, all right? You can have money in an account. You can have an investment. You can have a building. You can have a house. You could have bought land. You could have made investments in different areas. But what is most precious in this earth of today, all right, physically speaking, is still gold. Gold is where people still try and store value, all right? And that gold is being tested, purified, so that it does not get destroyed. Nothing, if you have gold physically on this earth, nothing can happen to it apart from somebody else may steal it. That's all. And the value has held strong over the centuries. Gold has held its value. It has held its value. It's been the most stable way to keep money, all right? But Peter now said, even that gold, even though it's been tested, purified seven times, tested though as by fire, he says it's still perishable. That's what I'm going to emphasize. But it says there is something that is more precious than gold that is perishable. And that is your faith. And let's just understand something. We are spiritual people. We Christians. We know that this physical earth is not all there is to it. There is a spiritual aspect to it. What does that mean? That what we are saying is that that thing which is spiritual is real. Is real. We must understand that. So if you have to go for something that has value, by faith we understand that we must go for genuine faith. People in the world, they go for material things. Somebody wants to, he has a choice. Should I stay in Enugu or go to Lagos or go to Abuja or go to New York or go to London? Somebody will say, okay, where do you get more money? So he goes for it. The job I'm being offered in London is going to give me £10,000 a month. In today's naira, that's 6 million naira every month. Say, wow, that makes me very rich. In a year, I have built a house, I've done everything. But he never asks, how will my faith improve? Are you getting my point? But somebody of faith say, okay, I have Enugu, I have Lagos, I have Abuja, I have London, I have New York. First thing is that, where is my faith going to be most, you know, sustained? Where will I sustain my faith? That's the first thing. It's not just jumping up and down. You know, the way we behave. Hey, I want to go have my kids abroad. Why? Let me give them a chance. I've said it again, Christians, listen, don't talk nonsense. Stop talking nonsense. There are statements you make, the Lord says you are not serious. Imagine the Lord looking at you. You know, there are times, I've talked to people before, you say you've done it. Somebody said you're not serious. The Lord will look at you and say you're not serious. It's like you kneel down to pray. God says, get up from there. Stop embarrassing everybody in heaven. You're not serious. You say your child born abroad is a chance you are giving in life, and you say you are a Christian. Yes, you're a Christian, but you're not a believer. A Christian by denomination, by political association, but you don't believe anything. If you have not read my book, He That Believes, please get a copy. It's free. It's on our website. You can download it and read it. That's what I tried to explain in that book. A believer must believe something. There are times people talk, you know, they don't believe anything. I'm going to try and start that message with them, of course, because of time. I'll complete it next time. Because you don't believe anything. As a believer, you talk, you reason with faith. Five choices. Which one do I pick? The genuineness of faith is paramount in your heart because you are a true believer. For you, faith has more value than money. We know the story in the book of Revelations. We quote it all the time. Two churches there. One of them, the Laodicean church. And let me explain something to you. What the Lord says is the truth. It's not how you feel. What the Lord says is the truth. It's not how you feel. The Lord Jesus looked, he said, I know your poverty, materially speaking. He said, but let me tell you something. Let me let you into a secret. You are actually rich. Why? They had genuine faith. He said they were rich. There's another church, very, very materially rich. He said, but these people are poor. You said, I'm rich and have need of nothing. He said, but you don't know that you are wretched and you are miserable. You are poor, you are blind, you are naked. That was how he described them. These are not matters you will explain when you get to heaven. One day on this earth, it will be shown to you that you are poor. You know, it's interesting. Just a good example. Steve Jobs, you know, speaking in the tech world, business world, was a wizard of some sort. Built Apple up from the scratch again after when he came back until the till today. They alternate with the Alphabet company, which is the most capitalized company in the world. As in, right now, it's still running Apple. By the time Steve Jobs was dying, Apple had $100 billion in cash. Not investment, not value of the company. Money that they banked. Yet, God wanted to show him that money is nothing. He could buy the best healthcare in the world, but they could not keep him alive. The money was there. He had a dangerous type of cancer of the pancreas. The best doctors in the world, they used the most advanced medicines for him. The cancer spread to the liver. They removed the liver. Gave him a new liver. Yes, took a liver from somebody and said, you don't need your liver again. Come on, a rich man wants to die. You're talking about. Come on, give me the liver. I don't know whether it was a cadaveric donor or somebody just cut half because liver can be split. They can remove part of somebody's liver. Let me have it and give somebody else. Yeah, really, really. Now, that's what they did. Did the best medicines. At the end of the day, the man died. You know what God was saying? Money cannot keep you alive. Money, doctors can't keep you alive. Nothing can keep you alive. I'm the only one that keeps people alive. God just one day said, let me show to you that you are not as rich as you think. That's what I'm saying. These are real things. If God says to somebody, you are naked, it means with all your money, I will make cold kill you. You will be so rich, cold will kill you. I mean, there was an avalanche. So is it France? Sometime last week. Italy. Now, in case you don't know, it was a luxury hotel. Only rich people were lodging there. Then cold came and killed them. If God says you are naked, he's not joking. No? He's not joking. He will prove it to you one day. And you know these angels, eh? They can be very, very interesting. You know angels? There are different kinds of angels. There are nice angels. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. They are nice ones. There are some angels who walk about. You look at the whole Joshua, servant of God, following God with the whole heart. Following God fully. Joshua asks you, are you on our side or against us? He said, I don't care about anybody. It depends on you. Which side are you on? Some angels are like that too. They don't have time for anybody. Some of them, you don't know whether they are devils or they are angels. Except that the Bible calls them angels. Otherwise, you'll have thought they were the devil. How do I know? Ask the Egyptian. Ask the Egyptians who went into their homes and took the firstborn in every household. Ask David. When he saw an angel hanging up there with a sword in his hand, there are all kinds of angels. So when God wants to prove to you you are naked, you have one of those wicked ones. According to Apostle. You remember that Apostle? Yes. He said there are some angels. He said the angels that guard him, they are on drugs. He said, my angels, they smoke Igbo. Some man of God that came to town and said that. So when God wants to prove to you that you are naked, you have one of them sit down and freeze you. They'll be blowing cold on your body. Only you will see them like this. Everybody will be wrapping you with cloth, heating up the room. The angel will be blowing cold. Oh, the Lord is good, though. What am I going to say? When the Lord says that you should go for gold that does not perish, please go for the gold that does not perish. Because one day in life, he will let you see the difference between gold that perishes and the one that does not perish. I said to you last time here There are people that God consults before he does anything on the earth. That's not a joke. There are people he talks to. Some of them, he literally will come as they are praying. He will drop thoughts in their hearts. Some he will, I'm not joking about this, some he will physically appear, take a chair, and say, sit down, let's talk. I want to handle this situation. This is how I want to handle it. What do you think? There was something Kenegan used to say in his days, very interesting. If he enters your house, and you now start running kiddie, maybe he's staying, because those days, they were not they used to stay in hotels much, they stay in the homes of people when they came to minister. He stay in a person's house, you now start running kiddie, 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 they say a child died. He will tell you simply, it's not possible. You will look like, what? It's not possible. If a child was going to die in this house, the Lord would have had to tell me first. So that child is not dying. Forget it. And he wasn't joking. They told him a girl got missing. They were supposed to come and visit that home. He told them, no, the girl is not missing. She missed her bus. She'll be home. The grandmother said, did the Lord speak to you? He said, no. Ah, oh, they're like, oh, I thought the Lord spoke. He said, no, wait. The Lord does not have to speak. The fact that he said nothing is why I'm telling you this. Because I'm staying in your home, he will never allow this calamity into your home while I'm around if he doesn't tell me ahead. He told a man that had diabetes. So the man always checking his urine, checking urine. He said, what are you doing? The man said, I have diabetes. And he was staying in Kenny Higgins' house. Kenny Higgins said, listen, while you are in my house, you will not have diabetes. When you leave, you can have diabetes. Till the man left his house, his urine was constantly negative for sugar. What I'm telling you, look, so we're talking about, those are things that are valuable. One day, one of our sisters, she gave us a testimony. She was at an airport. And one man was there just, you know, chatting her up, just talking with her. So in the course of gist, she told the man that I'd never been to a party, a nightclub and all of that. And the man was looking at her like, you don't know anything in life. What have you seen? I should take you around, that kind of thing. So she just got provoked and told the man, have you ever laid your hands on the sick and they recovered? Have you ever, as a demon-possessed person, come into your presence and they hush? Have you told a demon to fly out and they disappear because you spoke? He said, what do you know? You have not seen life. I'm the one that has seen life. The man was humble because he went to party. The man was describing party that he has gone to. He went to party in London. He went to party in Abu Dhabi. He went to party in Dubai. He went to party in, of course, Nigeria. He has been to party in his village. He has been to party in Lagos. He has been to party anywhere. He just harassed my sister, they look at him. My sister said, nicely, I beg me, I never go all of these ones. Ah, you have not seen anything. What have you seen? Have you seen evil spirits? People like you, and I'm adding words now. People like you will be crawling to witch doctor to do juju for you as you are passing up and down. Me, when witch doctors see me, they run. Say, what have you seen before? Airport, they were sitting at the airport. By the time he was done with the man, come give your life to Christ. The man had to agree. I'm not joking. Give your life to Christ. You are here talking nonsense in my presence. Listen, with all the money some people have, maybe called, you know, I have seen. Oh, let's talk about real faith. Things that matter. There are people I knew at the time, all right? Some of them, the person I have in mind was the ZMD or anyway, CEO or one of Nigeria's big 5 oil companies in Nigeria that time. Or chairman, one of those things. Yet, I saw the Baba that controlled his life. One imam. I'm not joking. These are the people that would tell them, don't travel, they will not travel. I'm telling you the truth. So you see some men out there, shout as if they are rich, they are big. One poor man that doesn't speak a word of English will tell him, don't travel. He will not travel. He will tell him, fire your cook. He will fire his cook. Some of them will be told, sack your wife. And they will. Who is richer? Yes, you see him coming to the office making noises, the MD or chairman of a company worth $2 billion. And you are envying him from outside. If you see the man who's controlling him. I told you, I serve God with all my heart because I know what he has delivered me from. A prophet, even a Christian prophet, will check before he tells me anything. A real prophet. I told you one day, my mother called me in the morning. And he said, "How is everybody?" I said, "Fine." They said that Gio said that they shouldn't wear red that day. You know, this was about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. How many of you remember that story? I told my mother, "I don't care what the Gio says. My children have gone to school. And if red was in their uniform, they have gone. And if I was planning to wear red today, I will wear it. The Gio cannot tell me not to wear red." He said, "I know that's how you will." I said, "Then why were you calling me in the first place?" Later on, the Redeemer now released a statement that the Gio never said it. I said, "I didn't care. If he said it, I would disobey it." Even Christian prophets check before they tell me anything. How much more unbelieving prophets? What have they not prophesied? I'm talking about being rich. Some of the men you see, if you see the people that control them, that's why Jesus looked and said, "You are not rich." I've seen rich people that build rich houses, but they don't sleep there. Because prophet said, you have to be sleeping. Labeabo. Those of you who speak Yoruba, you connected that one. They say you have to come under cover. Yes, no? Some of you are still going to white garment churches. Although white garment churches are out of vogue. Now, are they still in vogue? All of them have bought suits. Because white garment doesn't sell again. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Listen, real prophets, they have to make sure they hear God before they talk. Otherwise, I don't listen to them. As I'm talking about real substance. Yes, some men say they are rich. You see who's controlling them. Because they are actually not rich. Jesus said they are miserable. I have seen them before. Miserable. One of my colleagues those days said there's one man, he has a chronic sore in his leg. I said, but this one should be treated with, we all know how it should be treated. Said the man said, lie, he's not going to hospital for surgery because he's so afraid that if he goes under anesthesia, he will not wake up alive. Yet, this was a big oil dealer in worry. When Jesus says some people are miserable, believe it. They literally are miserable. And one day they will know that they are miserable. So he says to those of us who are believers, say, go for real wealth. When you want to make your choices, stop letting perishable things determine what will happen to you. Faith is what we are talking about. He said it is the genuine faith that counts. It's the genuine faith. I ended last time by saying something. You know, today I began to say that Christians should stand up and tell the truth and be the light and differ from the people around them so that the people walking in darkness will see a beacon of light. Many of them don't know better. They don't know better. You can't afford to follow them. I spoke to a class of medical students just 2 days ago. I noticed that my words were dropping on them like dew. And I was just correcting them on simple things like the school bought chairs for them, and I saw the chairs were spoiling because students will leave them out. They are reading outside. They leave it there. Rain falls on it. Dew falls on it. And they are made of plywood. So they start disintegrating. It pained me. I began to give them a lecture on how to handle life. It dawned on me that the words were dropping on them like dew. I even corrected boys. You know the way young boys like to gather and laugh at girls. I said, next time you see a guy doing like that, always taking pleasure in yapping young women, when you see him, tell him poverty. They were like, they laughed. But what is the poverty? What is it? I said, listen, he's sowing a seed for poverty. That is called reproach. What a man sows, he shall also reap. That when you start sowing reproach, a woman passes you, yap her head, yap her skirt, yap her eyes, yap her head, do yap everything, you are sowing reproach. The worst reproach in a man's life is poverty. When God wants to repay you with reproach, he gives you poverty. 15 years later, you don't know why everything you are doing is not working. You will know that those who used to sit down there and yap every girl that passes. God says, it's time to collect your reproach. So I told my students, at the end of the class, captain says, sir, thank you for the tips. That's what I'm talking about. I just told the young guys, you know, like, look, I like what the Chuks said once. Chuks, where are you? Okay. He said, Pastor, thank you for these things that you are saying. He said, we were not wicked. We just did not know them. I remember those words. He said, we were not wicked. We just didn't know these things. The greatest assignment, in my own opinion, that Christians have these days is to show light to everybody. Can I digress a bit? We'll read that Romans chapter 4. We'll read it, okay? Don't worry. We're going to read it. Listen, what we need to do these days, all right, is educate everybody. We need it. Like I said at the beginning, we can't afford these negative vibes. Let me just drop this one. Not part of our message, but it's important for every Nigerian in this season. Listen, now some of you may want to disagree, but please don't disagree with me because I'm a spiritual man right now. I'm under an unction. You know, no word of God leaves you the same. So that lifting you up or is bringing you down. So please, try not to disagree, okay? For your own safety. The Lord is good. Listen. One of our brothers, copied something Ken Hagin said recently. I forwarded it to more than 50 people on the spot. Once I knew you, you would listen to me, or you have some ideas about spiritual things, I forwarded it to you. If I had you on WhatsApp, I was just forwarding it. He reminded me, he was quoting something, of the day the Lord appeared to Ken Hagin in a vision and said, I am holding the church responsible for all the problems in their government at that time. Watergate scandal. He says, some of you think that you are innocent. He said, wait till you face me on the day of judgment. That was what he said. He said, you will realize that I am holding you responsible for the problem in your government. Listen, that is true. A lot of us work, like I said, this is correction. I don't think any head of state in Nigeria has suffered spiritually like the current one we have. Oh, I don't believe it's ever existed. See the venom rising from Christians. And that's a problem because they are the ones that have power with God. When you go to the beer parlor, God doesn't come there. Where does God listen? He listens out for what his people say. Yet they get up and release venom towards the Asurok. Release venom towards the president. No wonder the man is falling sick. I've come to correct you today. Please stop that nonsense. You are sowing a seed into your life. You know I've been saying it. You have only one assignment. To pray for the leadership of the country. God, listen, just for records, I did not vote for Buhari. I voted for Jonathan. But God said, Banky, your vote is wrong. And he appointed somebody else. And I have a duty as a believer to do what God said I should do. So every day, I pray for him. Every time I gather with Christians, matters come up, we pray for him. Positive prayers. And let me tell you the truth. Most of the things they tell you about him, they are lies. In fact, almost all of them I've heard, apart from the fact that he's the president, is a lie. People have blamed him for sponsoring Boko Haram. It's a lie. For sponsoring Southern Kaduna killings, is a lie. They've been killing like that in Southern Kaduna for over 30 years. Some people don't know. It's nothing new. I'm not saying it's good. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's good. Please leave this old man alone. The states that are not paying salaries now, they were not paying before. I hope you know that. In fact, he's the one that bailed some of them out. They were not paying. When they were even collecting correct oil money, they did not pay. Oil money dwindled. This is not part of our message. I'm just trying to get people to understand something. So Christians, be different in an area. Be different. When people are talking nonsense about the government, don't open your mouth. If you don't have what to say, let's just keep praying. God will help us. Our God is in charge. He's in control. No human man can thwart his counsel. Those are the things that you should be saying. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. Let's just read this, all right? We'll close with it. We are different people. Amen. I was saying something last time, which is what I wanted to say today, but I didn't get there. Faith is a fight, I was saying. Genuine faith is what we are going for. I want to just read this. I won't have time to explain it, but let me just be that I read it, then we'll continue. Let me just start. I'm going to jump a few verses. We'll read it better next time, but from verse 13. Where I'm going is verse 20. We're going to read up to 22. But I'll jump a few verses to save time. For the promise to Abraham to his descendants that he will be the heir of the world was not through the law but through the righteousness of faith. Please, I want you to notice those words, faith. That word, faith, I'm going to use it again and again. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. Verse 16 says, for this reason, it is by faith that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be granted to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law. Now, I'm now reading verse 18. Let me just continue reading. Who are of the law? But also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. He said, in the presence of him whom he believed. Now, follow this. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Verse 18, he said, in hope against hope, Abraham believed, so that he might become a father of many nations. Verse 18, in another translation, says that even when there was nothing else to hope for, Abraham believed, so that he might be a father of many nations. As has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. In verse 19, it says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Please follow this. If you have a King James, he said, he contemplated not. That's not the correct translation. The correct translation, every other translation uses that. Without becoming weak in faith, he saw his own body and looked at it. Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Let me stop here. I want to bring out something and just introduce it. This is how faith works. We're talking about the pursuit of God. The genuineness of faith. Faith, people sometimes tell you that you are denying facts. The truth about life is that there are very few facts. There are very few facts. Yes. But I'm not even going to talk about that. Many of these people tell you facts. There's no facts. Most of these so-called facts are people's interpretation of what they are able to observe. Now, notice what I said. What they are able to observe. There are many things that happen they did not observe. Then when they observe some things, they give it interpretation. They now tell you it's fact. What I want to bring out is that faith is what creates... Now, listen to this. Faith creates things. In life, events are being played out in different ways in heaven. Let me explain what I'm going to say here. Let me give an example. Let's say Nigeria today. You can see now that... Maybe Buhari sacked somebody, all right? And the person is from a different geopolitical zone from the president. Now, you can start talking about it and say it's nepotism. Are you getting my point? He's angry, wants to put his own brother there and all of that. So people can give you facts and figures and show you that that's exactly what happened. That event actually took place on the earth. But how does it play out from that point? I'm going somewhere. Is determined by the response of faith from those who hear it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. My wife can say something in the morning and it offends me. It does not mean she intended to offend. All right? But that statement that she made and whatever I was doing at that time really happened. But how does it play from that point for the next, let's say, 12 months? Yes, let's say 12 months. Is created by the faith in the hearts of those that hear it. For example, I decide that this is insult and it is going to end up in divorce. It will take 12 months, but it's going to get there. And it will begin from something that really meant nothing. But if by faith I took the same event, and I say, I love my wife as Christ loved the church. And she says to herself, all right, I submit to my husband as the church submits to Christ. And we just declare God's word over it. So it ends up becoming a joke that we can't remember. Why? Now listen, somebody will look back and say, oh, she was just joking. But if it had gone the other way, they would have said that was where it began. I don't know what's wrong with these women. Why can't they just watch their mouth? Some will say, I don't know what's wrong with these men. Why can't they just control their temper? The story now evolves. The same thing, but what we don't know is that in both situations, we caused to be that which did not exist. That's why I say faith is a fight. I told you once, let me just tell this story. It's an old story, then I close with it. I work in an office, University of Nigeria, and we are three people, a number of members of staff, many of us lecturers, but of those who could be appointed HOD were three. The other people were kind of too junior to us, so they would not rotate away from those of us who were the senior lecturers, you know, senior people there. Two are from Anambra, I think. Yes. Is the other from Abia? I'm from Ondo State. Anyway, I'm Yoruba, Hittite, Amoriteness, you know, we talked about that before. And then the other person, the other two guys, all right, Eastern Nigerians, Igbo men. HOD ship went from Mr. A, assume I'm Mr. B. It went from Mr. A to Mr. C, and we assume that it's coming back to B, all right? Because it normally rotates. It went from B to C, from A to C, and then after a while, expecting it to go come down to me now, it went back to A, and then from A, something happened along the line. There was a complaint some at the point in time. They suspended A and put C as acting HOD. I was clearly and deliberately omitted like twice. Fact, right? Fact?
Yes.
But it's all a lie. Everything I've told you now is a lie. It happened though. But your perception is a lie. Mr. A came to me. Remember A, C, B, and B. A came to me and said, this is tribalism. Now, he's a Igbo man. I am not. He said to me, it is tribalism. And I said to him, it is not. A lot of my people were embarrassed because I'm quite well liked where I work. Are you getting my point? They were embarrassed. You know Nigeria? Hey, what will he be thinking? I was the one telling them, Ozugo, Ndo. I was the one doing the, please now. No, this is not right. I said, God, it is not tribalism. Now, should I tell you the truth? It wasn't. What I've told you is a matter of fact. I'm not trying to sound nice. It turned out at the end of the day that it was not. What happened the first time, I don't know. But one thing many people don't know, which some of my close people know, is that anytime headship is about to switch, I kneel down and pray that God spare me. I don't have the time. Many people don't know that. One day I offended one professor. I didn't know. Later on I found out. He said, no problem. He's going to show me. He said it behind my back. He wouldn't say it to my face. You know, there are things people can't tell in your face. They can't say it. He said, I will make sure. Then I was head of my department. I will make sure he's removed as head and the other man is placed there. And being an expert, one of the old professors on campus, he went. Later on, I saw the letters. He didn't mention my name, but there was a way he did it. Passed letters over my head. I was heading my department. Went around and around and around to the dean, to dean, to the VC and all of that. But before I get to that point, the person he bragged to said, Prof, the Olushin I know, you will be doing him a favor, I hope you know. He told him to his face, say, if you do what you are threatening to do, that young man will give you an offering. No, really, because I've been, listen, because if you're in my department, all right, it's not just a university department, it's a hospital department. Yes, so when you are HOD, you head the department in the university and you head the department in the hospital. They don't pay, at that time, the allowance that's paid to the HODs was paid only by the university and it was 3,000 naira a year. Yes, 300 naira a month, less, 280, 2 something. So you didn't get paid anything for it. If you are in the hospital, if you want to be crooked, there's a way you can earn some, but of course, I'm not, God has helped me with that. My eye is not hot, not that my heart proud. So there's nothing more than work. Look, who was traveling with me? Ian Kai Israel, who was it that we're going to preach? On the way, I got a phone call. And I was going to Nsukka to go and preach. I had to turn back. Ian Kai, was it you? We had to turn back to the hospital and go and solve a problem. And I sat down there while a problem was being solved. And police came and arrested some of my staff. And they said I should come to the station. I said, Laila, I know they go. I left there, I went to go and preach. So that is, there was a day, 12 midnight, my phone rang. Who was it? My chief medical director. Ah, Oga, I hope everything is okay. So it's work you don't want. If I ever do agree to do it willingly, it's because you just have to contribute something. It's a job I don't want. Many people don't know that. On the surface, people are shouting, tribalism? It's not tribalism? And I told everybody, listen to the fight of faith. I told everybody, I am a man of God. I don't mean as a preacher. I mean a person that God sent. Nobody who loves himself can discriminate against me. I said, it is not tribalism. They talk good. I said, listen, I have been to Nsukka before. This is a funny thing. When I first came, I would go to Nsukka. I would go to Nsukka. Of course, in the hospital, they said, don't mind those Nsukka people. They're like this. I said, but I've been there many times, and they've been extremely nice to me. And they say it's because you are from far. See the way he... Do you get my point? They don't see you as a threat. What I'm saying is that, my brethren, I stood my ground, and I refused to buy the tribalism story. And eventually, events showed that I was right. But this is what I'm making to you about faith. If it may not have been like I'm exercising faith, but luckily faith. But if I went the other way, what will happen? I'll start telling my story as victimization while I was in Enugu. I add to the Nigerian lie that seeks to divide. You are getting my point? Then my story becomes one to quote. See what I've been doing? Fashola shot Ladipo once. Somebody told me it's because it's Igbo interest. Then Fashola went and crossed and shot Teju Osho. Whose interest now? Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Fashola was shotting everywhere down. His complaint was the market was dirty. And somebody told me that it's not a dirty market. It's that his taxes were not complete. Are you getting my point? Another man said, no. When I hear from Christians, it upsets my soul. That why can't you just rise above the gutter? Why can't you just choose to be different? He said, what if they are right? I have told you faith calls things into existence. They cannot be right. It is what you determine that is right. I'll pick it up from there because faith is a fight. I hope you are blessed today. Yes, sir. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Lord, I yield myself. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have set me free. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I don't have to put my hand up for 12 years. Now, I can enter boldly into your presence through Christ Jesus, and I will be heard. And you will answer my prayers. Lord, I thank you. All I can give you is thanksgiving. I can't repay you, but I will thank you forever. Thank you for freedom.
Thank you for freedom.
Thank you because no curse works against me.
Thank you because
I have been set free from every curse.
Thank you because I have been set free.
I have been set free in Christ Jesus.
Lord,
I thank you because I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm healed. Now, please put a hand wherever is hurting you. Now say, Lord, I thank you because I'm healed totally by the power of the sacrifice of Jesus. I give you thanks in the name of Jesus. As you are saying that, healing power is entering you and is setting you free in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we say thank you. Thank you because you indeed have set us free. We are free to serve you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we say it, we love you. We love to serve you. We love to love you. We love to walk with you. We love to have that smile on your face shining in our direction. We appreciate that. That's what we live for. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If there's anybody here that you have not given your life to Christ, as we're praying, that's the time you should have done that. Let's just give you a few seconds again. Just say, Lord, from today I will serve you. It's simple. Say, Lord, from today, I now understand who you are. I give my life to you. Lead me, educate me.